The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Box Score Breakdown for Friday, the 22nd of January. I am Mr. Jolly of Sydney, and if I sound excited, that's because after 2 days solo, I am joined today by a special guest, one of the hoopball legends. He is Stephen Vidovich. We'll get to him in a moment. Before we do, remember, I am Mr. Jolly of Sydney on Twitter, and my partner, the other host of this show, is Scotty Harland. He is a.k.a. The Harlander. That is Harland, H-A-R, and then Lander, 23, on Twitter. Please add us and give us a follow over there. We love to have your support. Shout out to the big knobs from Hoopball, Aaron Bruski and Dan Breschmas from Fantasy NBA today. Get over and check out hoop-ball.com. Get involved and support one of the best things going in the Fantasy NBA world. It is great stuff, and so is the guest today. He is over on the west coast of the United States, where it is about 10 past 10 on a Friday. It is Saturday afternoon here in Australia, and we're in the virtual studio, and I am absolutely pumped because today was a rocking day in the NBA, wasn't it, Stephen?
Oh, absolutely. 11 games. I mean, we're at the point of the season where we're having a lot of guys that could be ads in your standard league fantasy teams. So make sure to keep an eye on the wire. You got guys coming back from injuries. You got guys emerging in new situations. So just make sure to keep an eye on the wire.
So lots and lots of stuff happening. Well, before we get into some of those points you just hit on, shout out to Clint Capello. Had a triple-double with 10 blocks. I think he had 6 blocks about 2 or 3 minutes into the second quarter as well. And so we'll get to some of these massive lines as we go through. But let's hit some of those value things now. Some of the breakout guys that people could be looking for on the wire at the moment who are providing sneaky value or in some cases very good value.
Yeah, so you got a guy like Jeremy Lamb who's coming back off of an ACL injury. He's had his second game back tonight. You got a guy like Jeff Green who's now in a situation in Brooklyn where they don't have as much depth as they had in prior to the trade. You also have a guy like Kendrick Nunn who's emerged on the scene after not being a major part of the rotation early on in the season. You got a guy like Wayne Ellington out in Detroit who has hit 23 pointers over his last 4 games. So there's just a lot of interesting speculative ads, interesting straight up ads, and you just got to make sure you don't take your foot off the pedal and continue to just rock it in your fantasy league.
Yeah, shout out to Uncle Jeff Green. I've picked him up in a few places. On Yahoo, he has small forward, power forward, and center eligibility as well, which in this season with all the PPDs, if you're playing in 2 center leagues, I love the idea of having someone who qualifies in all 3 of those positions. Would you not agree?
Oh, absolutely. Having the multi-eligible players are so key, especially this season. Everything is more crucial than it is in seasons past.
Absolutely. And also shout out Danilo Gallinari came back today. Kemba Walker, he would not have been on any waiver wires, but unless you play in 8-team leagues, but he is looking very sprightly. Gallinari with the people missing in Atlanta should be good too. But without further ado, I reckon we just jump into game number 1. We'll get to the ad reads when we get to them. Let's start off with the Chicago Bulls up against the Charlotte Hornets. And the Bulls run out winners 123-110. They're an example of a team that looks a lot better this season than they have in previous seasons. They're interesting to watch on League Pass because of the big scores. And they also are very interesting in terms of fantasy value for the Chicago Bulls. Zach LaVine had 25 points. He had 6 rebounds. He had 9 assists. He had 1 steal and 1 block. He is just pumping along in his 36 minutes. Lauri Markkanen, who missed a good chunk of the season, he's another example of a guy, Stephen, who has missed a big part of the season, but coming back now. He had 23 points, 2 rebounds, 1 block. He was 10 for 17 from the field and 3 for 8 for deep. Is he on any of your teams?
Unfortunately, I did not get Markkanen in a lot of actually anywhere this season. So a little disappointed about it, but I actually did not end up with any Bulls on any 6 of my fantasy teams, surprisingly.
Interesting. I mean, you think Markin's one of those guys, isn't he? When you, he's sort of like a LaMarcus Aldridge in a way, where he's playing away from the basket, shooting a lot of three-pointers. He can be cold if he's not hitting those threes. He doesn't get you a crap ton of rebounds, only two tonight, and he doesn't get those defensive stats. So he can run very hot and cold. It'll be very interesting to see where he ends up. Another interesting thing with the Bulls was Daniel Gafford starting for them. He had 7 points, six rebounds, one steal and two blocks. He gets those defensive categories in just 18 minutes. If he could just push up to 25 minutes, he'll be very interesting. Of course, though, that's probably not going to happen because of he was only getting this opportunity today due to Wendell Carter Jr. missing out. But he is one to watch in dynasty leagues. Kobe White had 18 points. He had eight assists. He had two steals. Another decent line from him, although he was 6 for 15 from the field. Field goal percentage is, of course, not his strong point. Patrick Williams on the rookie watch was back. He had just 4 points, six rebounds, no steals, no blocks. He only played 16 minutes, though. Hopefully those minutes will ramp back up for him. Now, speaking of sneaky value, Garrett Temple, he played 30 minutes, 15 points, five rebounds, one assist, three steals. Is he only worth adding in a 14 or 16 team league, or does he have sneaky 12 team value?
So, you know, I actually wrote the pickups of the night for HoopBall for this Friday night. And I was looking at Garrett Temple over his first six or seven games. He was producing value outside of the top 300. But over the last five or six games, he is in the standard league radar. He, I think, is inside of the top 125. The five turnovers is a little disappointing, but the guy is hot right now. As long as he's seeing 30 minutes, you ride him while he's hot. I don't expect it to last for the entire season, but right now it's working.
Yeah, and speaking of working, Gordon Hayward is working. He is working overtime because he had 34 points. He had six rebounds. He had four assists. He had two steals. He had 2 3-pointers. He was 8 for 10 from the foul line, 12 for 20 from the field. Speaking of regrets, I've had a few, probably too many to mention, and Gordon Hayward not draft. I think I've got him in one league, and it's just a free roto league. I wish I had him in a cash league.
Yeah, Gordon Hayward has been incredible this season. You remember when he got hurt in the preseason, and everybody was thinking that he was going to be out for a while, and he got dropped down fantasy boards a little bit during draft season, and then he was actually back, I believe, for opening night. How things change in fantasy circles.
Yeah, holy
it's
crap.
Just crazy. But if you got Gordon Hayward, oh man.
He's 24th on a per game basis now, and he's only missed, I think, a couple of games with injury. Obviously, we can end up with egg on our face by saying how great he is if he gets injured around the fantasy playoffs. So maybe you don't end up regretting it. But gee, he's been amazing. I remember we did a poll, actually, Scotty and I, where we asked people, where would you draft Gordon Hayward after he got that finger injury? And most people were saying not until pick 80 or beyond. So he obviously fell a long way in a lot of drafts, and good luck to people who took a bit of a risk on him. PJ Washington is another guy who has been very good of late anyway, not the whole season like Gordo, but he's still been very good. 16 points, he had four rebounds, two assists, one block. He was 7 for 14 from the field. Is he somebody maybe who gets a bit of a hit because Cody Zeller is back now? Maybe those center minutes are going to fall off. Biombo played 27 minutes. Zeller played 10 minutes. So that's 37 minutes of the 48 what they took up at center. So PJ not having as many center minutes, does that hurt him?
It might slightly, but Cody Zeller and Bismack Biombo aren't that big of an obstacle, in my opinion. Cody Zeller played 11 minutes tonight in his first game back from the hand fracture. It might take him a little bit of time to get up to whatever his minutes will be when he's full ramp up, which is probably going to be about what Biombo saw tonight. I'd say PJ Washington takes if I put a percent on it, I would say somewhere between a 3-5% hit. Mainly in the rebounding department.
And maybe in the blocks as well, if he's not right in there at the rim as much. I mean, obviously, it's a positional title. It doesn't necessarily change that much about how he plays, but there may be a slight downtick in those defensive categories as well because of not being right around the rim. Devontae Graham had 24 points. He had three rebounds. He had six assists and one steal. He was 9 for 18 from the field. when he shoots 50% from the field, get yourself one of those lottery tickets that I like to mention sometimes, because that is pretty amazing for someone whose field goal percentage is normally ranker than septic. Bismack Biyombo, he's just had 6 points. He did have 10 rebounds and 2 assists, though. He only had 3 shots, and he's just a deep league guy. If you've got him in 12 team, maybe he's a streamer and that is it. Do not hold him if something better. Like, for example, Jeff Green. If you've got Biyombo and Jeff Green's on your wire, go and get Jeff Green instead. Miles Bridges just had 2 points. He's had a pretty disappointing season. LaMelo Ball, 7 points, 1 rebound, 2 assists, 2 steals, only 7 shots for him. Only 16 minutes for LaMelo in this game. What do you think caused that, Stephen?
You know, he had 5 turnovers in the game. It just didn't seem like it was his night. Also, you got Graham, who was cooking in the starting unit, like you said, the lottery ticket of 50% shooting. So it didn't seem to be LaMelo's night. There are better days ahead of him. He, in my opinion, is the best point guard on the team. And at some point this season, he will be unleashed. It didn't happen tonight.
Another thing that didn't happen tonight was that the Detroit Pistons did not beat the Houston Rockets, although it was a pretty amazing thing. If you saw the end of the game, Jeremy Grant did a little bit of a handoff, fake handoff back to Blake Griffin, where they were down by 1 point with 3.1 seconds. And then he drove to the basket and got fouled, but the foul was like a tenth of a second after the final buzzer. So the Rockets ended up winning 103-102. Very exciting game, wasn't that, mate? Did you see the end of that?
You know, I didn't catch the end of that one. But that's just crazy.
Yeah, absolutely. Crazy. Absolutely crazy. I saw
the Pistons stay in every single game, and it seems like they lose every single one in a very close fashion.
I don't know about you. I don't know if it's just because I'm so focused in this season, maybe in part from doing the podcast, but it seems like a lot of the teams that have been crappy and boring in the past are a lot better. The Pistons are interesting to watch. The Cavs are interesting to watch. Even the New York Knicks are interesting to watch. It's just really good stuff. But you know what's even better than good stuff enjoying the games? That is dominating your fantasy leagues. And to do that, you need something like the Fantasy Pass. It's still the best deal in the industry at just $4.99 a month. And now we're into the regular season. There is zero commitment. Just sign up for 1 month for $5. If you don't like it, you can cancel. But you know what? We know you'll love it. It's always nice to have the option to cancel. Of course, though, Fantasy Pass has everything you'll need to dominate all year long. Updated projections, new fantasy appraiser tools, schedule and streaming charts, pickups, drops, and our newest and coolest feature where you can chat with people like me, with Steven, with all of our experts, the pros, the Hoopball Discord server. Fantastic stuff all around the clock, because we've got people in the United States, we've got people in Australia, we've got people in Europe. You get one-on-one help for your team. Do check it out. Head to hoop-ball.com. Click on the Fantasy Pass ad just below the main media wall. Remember, it's just $5. Just try it out for a month. Just have one less latte this month and check it out. And if it's not good, I'll buy you a latte next month. There you go. How's that? How could people refuse after that, Stephen?
I'll take you up on that right there.
I don't.
I'm booking my ticket.
Aren't they paying you already to be involved? Oh, okay. So let's get to this Houston game in detail against the Pistons. For the Houston Rockets, DeMarcus Cousins had a very bizarre line. If you picked him up on a wire, or if you've held him through the season, you'd be very delighted that he had 15 rebounds and 7 assists and 2 blocks, but you would not be delighted about the fact that he had 5 points because he was 2-for-16 from the field. In a head-to-head category league, you just lost field goal percentage for the week, didn't you?
Oh, God. Ugh. That's just so, like, cringeworthy right there. That 2-for-16 from the field with 5 turnovers.
Yeah,
that's unbelievable. I haven't seen a line like that. He should have stopped shooting the ball once he was 2-for-8, 2-for-10. Mm-hmm. He kept shooting. Oh,
yeah. I mean, well, Blake Griffin was 2-for-8. Speaking of guys coming, older guys come back from injury who look a bit cooked, but yeah, it's not a good sign, is it, for DeMarcus? I think you've got to hold him because you probably spent a top 100 pick on him. You just hope that he does a bit better. But the main problem is just normally when Christian Wood plays, he's only getting 15 or 16 minutes. So, yeah, you hold him for a while. But if he goes back to 15 or 16 minutes later on, he becomes a drop again. Victor Oladipo also was terrible. God, there was a lot of bad shooting in this game for the Rockets. That here was 4 for 16 from the field. He had 13 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. Eric Gordon had a good game, and I'm streaming him in a couple of leagues. He played 36 minutes, which you like to see. He seems to be one of the main beneficiaries of the Harden trade. 20 points, 3 assists, and he also had. I just only hit 1 3-pointer, which is a bit weird. He was 7 for 9 from the foul line, 1 of 6 and 6 of 15. Hey, the problem with him, isn't it, is his field goal percentage can be a bit off.
Yeah. Eric Gordon, I'm streaming him, or actually it was more of an ad in my league because I'm projecting that he can have low end standard league value, maybe top 110, top 125 is what I'm hoping for. The field goal percentage isn't great, but then again, it's not a 2 for 16 sort of a thing. If he shot the ball, let's say he hit a couple more threes where he was 1 for 6 tonight, then it would actually be a pretty decent line. You'd like to see, you know, a couple more rebounds, but he's mainly there as a 3-point specialist who can fill up the scoring categories. So you got to keep running with EG going forward. As you were mentioning DeMarcus Cousins, in my opinion, I think Cousins, you hold on to him while Christian Wood is out. But as soon as Christian Wood comes back, in my opinion, DeMarcus is a drop.
Yeah,
I'm not holding on to him in a 12-team league. Maybe 14-team, you could hold on. But in a 12-team league, he's basically, in my opinion, he's a handcuff. And that doesn't work in fantasy basketball like it does in fantasy football. The guy I really liked on Houston, Jayshon Tate. The 3x3, that's a great line from a guy who was actually in your country last year, right? Jayshon Tate has come onto the scene so strong this year.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about other guys. It'd be a pretty amazing line for him. 13 points, 3 rebounds, 1 assist, 3 steals, 3 blocks. Shout out to the NBL, the Australian Basketball League. He played 32 minutes. So with him, there was also, of course, Sterling Brown. He popped off for 24 points in a game last week. Sterling Brown had a nice line too, 14 points. He had 8 rebounds. He had 2 assists. He had 4 3-pointers. There's a bit of sneaky value for that team, isn't there? Although, of course, Christian Wood being out may have bumped up a couple of those lines.
Yeah, no, Christian Wood being out definitely plays a factor.
And,
also,
and John Wall.
John Wall's also out. I mean, they had their main guys didn't seem to struggle tonight, but their peripheral guys did really well. Tate, Brown, also David Nwaba has been pretty decent recently. I don't think that any of these guys, PJ Tucker also got in on the action, but I don't think any of these guys are standard league ads when the roster is fully healthy. But Jayshon Tate is a guy that I'm watching for sure. I have him on my watch lists. If he ends up getting a starting role for the Rockets as they maybe turn the page and don't look to win as many games, he can do a lot of things on the basketball court. I don't know. You probably saw him some in the NBL last year. What are your thoughts on Jayshon?
Yeah, I mean, I went to see a Kings game actually, mainly because LaMelo Ball was in town with the Wollongong Wolves, and he actually upstaged LaMelo in the game. So he's definitely good driving to the basket as well, and he's got a nice looking jump shot on him. So good luck to the fella, and shout out to the Sydney Kings. Although I don't originally come from Sydney, by the way, so some of my sporting loyalties are a bit mixed. I'm a big Perth Wildcat fan from way back, and of course James Ennis, who plays for Orlando, played for the Wildcats for a while and was a top player for them. Speaking of top players, Jeremy Grant, my goodness, I get a very, very excited. I lift up the table with no hands, as I like to say about Jeremy Grant, because I've got him in 5 of my 17 leagues or something. He had 21 points. He had 8 rebounds, 3 assists. He had 2 blocks. He's getting those defensive cats as well. He was a bit of a putrid 4 for 15 from the field, but Jeremy Grant has been one of the stories of the fantasy season and even the NBA season, hasn't he?
Oh, absolutely. Jeremy Grant, he decided to go and get his own usage, get his own team, and he is showing why he deserves that this season. I mean, they're not going to win a lot of games, but they've been extremely competitive, and the future looks very bright.
Yeah, and I owe him an apology, and I think a lot of people owe him an apology as well, because the preseason, some of his shooting was a bit off, and people thought he just wasn't going to be very good, but he passes the eye test too. When it's not losing basketball that he's playing. When you watch him play, when he's on the court, And, you know, I need to dig a bit deeper into some of the statistics, but they actually look competent. When he's off the court, there's a big difference in the eye test. So shout out to Jeremy Grant. You are a legend in my eyes. DeLon Wright had 18.6 rebounds. He had 2 assists. He had 3 steals. Now, DeLon, interesting one. He's one of these guys. What do you do with him? You have him and then he's crap for a few games. You drop him and then he's on the waiver wire. You grab him again. Is he just off and on teams all season or is he a guy that you hold? I dropped him and I picked up Cole Anthony instead. Of those two, who would you prefer rest of season?
I'd lean Cole Anthony just because he's got the starting point guard job over DeLon Wright. DeLon Wright's inconsistent. I mean, if you really need steals, I think he's going to provide you maybe roughly 2 per game this season. But the scoring's not going to be 8 for 14 every night. He's going to continue to go through ups and downs, which Cole Anthony will too. But Cole Anthony's job seems to be a bit more secure than DeLon's out in Detroit. So I'd go Cole.
Wayne Ellington, the aforementioned Wayne Ellington, one of the guys we talked about being a breakout guy and a pickup. He was at 18 points, 3 rebounds. He had 1 steal, 6 for 10 from deep, 23 pointers. Did you say it was in the last 3 games or the last 4 games?
Last 4 games, I believe.
Now, do you have him anywhere? Have you picked him up?
I haven't actually picked him up yet. I probably should when I talk about picking a guy up. I just think he's if you need 3-point streamers, Wayne Ellington, you know, he's seeing 33 minutes. He has completely beat out Josh Jackson for that starting guard spot. So he's also beat out Svi Mykhailiuk, who I was thinking was going to be their sharpshooter this season. So as long as he's in that sharpshooting role, I could see him hitting about 3 to maybe 4 threes a game for at least this stretch. I mean, he's what? That's 5 threes per game, which is unsustainable. But 3-point specialist in standard leagues right now, Wayne Ellington is on the top of the list.
And Josh Jackson actually played 30 minutes today. He had 12 points, he had 3 rebounds, he had 2 assists and 1 steal. But he's a guy that you're not really holding in a 12-team league. Mason Plumlee had 6 points only, but he had 9 rebounds, he had 4 assists, he had 1 block, only 3 shots for Mason. He still remains a hold, though, because of the rebounds and some of the defensive category stats that he's getting, but he has dropped off a bit from earlier in the season. Isaiah Stewart, one of the rookie guys, he had 7 points, he had 10 rebounds, he had 2 blocks. He's a guy only with deep league value, probably. Blake Griffin, just 7 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists. I dropped him in the league that I had him in. I've kept him in 1 points league, but is Blake Griffin a whole season hold?
No, not in my opinion. I wasn't targeting him this year in drafts, and he doesn't look like he has it anymore. Maybe it's the situation in Detroit. Maybe he doesn't want to lose games. But, I mean, this is Jeremy Grant's team. It's sad to see what has happened with Blake, who used to be such an athletic high flyer. Now he can't really get up like he used to. I think he's a clear drop. He could at times have some nice lines, but I don't think it's sustainable.
Now, speaking of huge events and one of the reasons why I'm sounding so excited tonight was just how many exciting endings and big lines and stuff. And here's another one for you. Malcolm Brogdon shot up and hit the winner, game-winning buzzer beater against the Orlando Magic. They ran out winners. The Pacers did 120 to 118. Brogdon has been one of the stories of the fantasy season. So let's start with the Pacers and start with him. He had 23 points. He had 3 rebounds. He had 6 assists. He was 8 for 18 from the field. He hit 2 threes and he was a perfect 5 for 5 from the foul line. This guy is a multiple category monster when he has the opportunity. 37 minutes tonight after the trades and the injuries and stuff with them. I think he probably ends up in the, unless he gets injured, he probably ends up in the top 2 rounds, doesn't he?
He has a chance to end up in the top 2 rounds. But one thing that I would note is that last year, he started off very strong and he kind of faded as the season went along. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen this year. He looks excellent right now. I don't know if I would bank on top 2 round value. Maybe it's a time to sell high on Brogdon because of that, in my opinion, by my calculation. I'd say safely he could end up with a 4th round value, with, you know, second round upside. But I need to see it once before I believe it. And I think based on last season, how he trended off, he got a little bit cold as the season went along. I would tread with a little bit of caution there, but you got to love what you're seeing so far.
I think last season what happened is Victor Oladipo came back, because I had Brogo in a points league last season, and he was at this level for the until Oladipo came back, and then he got injured as well. So the thing with him, and probably thank you for triggering my thoughts on this, the reason for selling high on him is just with his, as we say in Australia, with his thighs and hips and ass problems that he's had. I think he strained an ass muscle, he strained a thigh muscle, he had a hip injury. You probably don't bank on him going through the whole season without injury, do you?
Yeah, it's very possible. I definitely do think it's a sell high moment, but you got to love what you're seeing from him.
Speaking of love, I love Miles Turner back from injury himself. And I put him into a few lineups this morning here, Saturday morning in Australia, running around like a frog in a sock, trying to get my lineup set up with all these guys returning from injury all of a sudden, including Michael Porter Jr. as well. Got him in a few spots. But Miles Turner had 22 points. He had 9 rebounds. He had 1 assist. He had 3 big blocks. It's always a block party with Miles, and a beautiful 9 for 14 from the field at 64%. 3 3-pointers as well. Miles Turner, you got some love for him?
Oh, absolutely. Miles Turner is, he could end up as a second round value just because of the defensive stats he's producing, which are probably not sustainable, but he's going to be a top of the entire league in that category. I love myself some Miles Turner. I'm shocked that he came back as quickly as he did with a fracture in his hand, something somewhat similar to what Jusuf Nurkić has, and Nurkić is out for 6 to 8 weeks or something. So very interesting that Turner came back so quickly. Hopefully, I mean, he didn't look like the injury slowed him down at all tonight. I got him in one spot and I'm ecstatic about it.
Yeah, and if you look at sort of value that players provide per category, he's up to a Z score on Basketball Monster of almost 6 for blocks. It's just absolutely massive. And he's the 9th ranked player in fantasy basketball. It's just beautiful to see. You love to see those blocks. It's exciting to watch live as well, because it's like, you know, it's a category where you don't need many to win, and you're watching one of your guys like him or Capella or Rashawn Holmes just grabbing blocks, and you're like, oh, yeah, I love it. I love it. I absolutely love it. You love Dougie McDermott as well if you've been streaming him. He had 13 points. He had 6 rebounds. He's a sneaky contributor in the rebounds as well, Dougie. He had 4 assists as well. He had 3 3-pointers. So those 3-pointers, not bad points for a streamer, and the rebounds that he gets for. He had 4 assists today too is good. Domantas Sabonis is good. He's playing more minutes than anybody else in the NBA. He had 45 minutes today. He had 18 points, 11 rebounds, 9 assists and 5 steals. He is a burgeoning fantasy legend. It's only the 3 throw shooting that lets him down, of course. Also for the Indiana Pacers, they have a guy by the name of Jeremy Lamb. He had 22 points. He had 7 rebounds, 1 assist and 1 steal, 7 for 14 from the field. You talked about him earlier as being a guy that is worth adding, and that is why. For the Orlando Magic, it's Nikola Vucevic who's been dominating this season. I've got him in about 5 leagues, thanks to Dan Bespris from Fantasy NBA Today. He had 24 points. He had 12 rebounds. He had 2 assists. He had 2 steals. He had 4 3-pointers. 10 for 29 from the field, though. That is not fantastic at 34%, but you just cannot complain about him. Let's talk about Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier, Horny Fourney, as we call him down under. He had 26 points. He had 9 assists. He had 4 3-pointers and 8 for 14 from the field. Evan is a guy in leagues with no IR. I held on to him in 2 leagues, and I'm happy that I did. Do we see him having, what, does he have top 60 upside rest of season because of the opportunity there?
He definitely could. The Magic are without a lot of guys right now. Fournier is their best scoring option from outside. Vucevic is a good 3-point shooter. Aaron Gordon sometimes hits him, but I do not think he's a good 3-point shooter. So Fournier, top 60, I could see it. He was 6 for 12 from the free throw line tonight, which really stings. But it was his second game back, I believe, or So, I mean, he's just getting his legs back under him. Top 60 is within the realm of possibility. I'd put it more at top 75, top 80 myself, but you know, that's just to be a little bit conservative.
Now, people who listen to us and play in points leagues, he's definitely an ad. If he's on your wire in points leagues, because he's made for points leagues, because he doesn't get a lot of defensive stats, but he'll get you those points and he'll hit some threes. Most of those points leagues have bonus points for threes, unless you're playing on ESPN. Aaron Gordon had 17 points, 9 rebounds and 9 assists. He just keeps chugging along. Everybody who comes on the show hates him. But you can't complain about those rebounds and assists, can you?
No, I mean, I don't think Aaron Gordon is a good shooter. That's my biggest problem with him. I think he takes too many shots from the outside. I think he needs to go to the rim more. His ability to dish out 9 assists is incredible. He did have 6 turnovers in this one, so it hurts you a little bit in 9 cat leagues. And most of what I'm referring to is 8 and 9 cat leagues as opposed to points leagues. But you got to love what you're seeing from Aaron Gordon. I don't think that a line like this is going to happen often, especially from the shooting perspective. But he can definitely dish the ball out. He can get you 9 assists from time to time. The rebounds are obviously there. He got 2 blocks tonight. He's a solid standard league asset, but he doesn't blow my socks off.
Yeah, and he's been good of late. Let's just see how it holds. He's inside the top 120 on the season, which shows that he's been good of late because he was terrible until about 2 weeks ago. Cole Anthony had 9 points. He had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and 1 block in his 35 minutes. He is worth holding if you can stomach the field goal percentage because he's just getting those minutes, 35 minutes. And I think the assists will pop back up again. It seems to have dropped off a little bit with the assists. Evan Fournier had 9 assists today, seems to be stealing a few of those. The other guys, Terrence Ross had 12 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists and 2 steals. Do not drop him. He's been a little bit cold, but he's definitely a 12-team value guy. The next game of the evening was the Brooklyn Nets losing for the second time in 2 games to the reformed Cleveland Cavaliers with the sex man, Colin Sexton back. They are looking great. They also got Darius Garland back today. Let's start by talking about the Nets. Firstly, of course, they were missing KD today and they just don't have depth, do they? Without KD, James Harden had 19 points, 5 rebounds, 11 assists. The assists are still there. He only had 14 shots, though. There seems to be a few less shots for him in Brooklyn, which limits his upside maybe a bit. He probably won't finish first, the first ranked player in fantasy NBA this season, but he's still going to be first round value. I don't think there's any doubt about that, is there?
No. I would say that middle of the first round would be my estimate on where Harden finishes the season.
And I feel pretty good about that.
Definitely.
I've got him in 6 of my 17 leagues because he was falling in drafts, and especially I did 2 dynasty startups where he really fell, and then in other places he fell quite far, and I traded for him in 1 league as well. I hope I'm not going to regret that.
You'll be fine. I mean, I don't like the guy that much as for his off-court antics, but on the court, he's one of the best players in the league. I think this is his second straight game with the Nets with double-digit assists.
Yeah, it
is. So perhaps he's working on that part of his game, wants to lead the league in assists or something, which would be interesting.
Well, I tell you, Kyrie Irving is not holding back any shots. He was 14 of 24 today, 38 points, 5 assists, and he also had 1 block. I mentioned on the last show that he's getting the sneaky defensive category stats, including blocks. And I think part of the reason is people, are, like I said on the last show, they're just taking a lot of shots right in his face because they think he can't defend them. He's not a great defender, but it's just the sheer opportunity of people shooting right in his face is leading to blocks. So Kyrie Irving, 38 points, and the percentage, his field goal percentage this season has just been beautiful. He is the, where are we here, the 3rd ranked player on the season on a per game basis. No, 2nd. Only Jokic is above him at the moment. So I held back on trading him away. A few people did some buy lows. I just don't think you could sell him, can you? Because you sell him for something much less than what he could give you. You've just got to gamble on him being available during the fantasy playoffs and he might win it for you.
Yeah, you know, going into this season, I had Kyrie Irving ranked in my top eight as far as fantasy players. And I went into drafts and I didn't draft him in the first round because obviously that would have been insane at the time. But I got him in the second round in my first two leagues that I drafted in. And then I got nervous. I got cold feet because everybody was talking about how the guy, you know, has a lot of issues in his game. Is he going to play a lot? And I know he just had a prolonged absence. But this season, unless an injury were to occur, I don't see Kyrie Irving sitting out for prolonged stretches. Sure, he might have another, you know, Dennis Rodman-esque week off sometime in the season. But Kyrie, if you drafted him in the middle of the second round or if you were able to get him in the third round, you got to be so happy. And there's no way you trade him away because no one's going to give you anything of equal value for him.
Yeah, because it's the gamble, and unless somebody else wants to take the gamble off your hands, the things I knocked back for him. I think the best offer at one point I had was Devin Booker. I thought twice about that, but then I don't see Booker getting anywhere back to near where he is. DeAndre Jordan had 9 points. He had 4 rebounds. He had 1 assist. He had 3 blocks. He's definitely a hold in 12 team as a result of all these trades and stuff. Jeff Green, who we talked about before, had 13 points. He had 2 rebounds, 1 assist, but he had 2 steals. He also had a 3-pointer for you. Jeff Green is one of the best pickups at the moment. Go and have a look in your waiver wire because of that position eligibility that we mentioned as well. For the Cavaliers, it's all about Colin Sexton at the moment. He was a match winner again. He had 25 points. He had 9 assists, 2 rebounds. He only hit 1 of 5 from deep, but he did hit 8 for 9 from the foul line, and he's 8 for 19 overall. Colin Sexton, the Cavs look like a different team with him back, don't they?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you would think that the Nets had the big three, but maybe it's the Cavs with the big three, with Sexton at the head of the snake right there. They look so good with him back. I mean, Darius Garland came back tonight. The Cavs are one of the biggest surprises of the season. They are playing tremendous defense. I am watching a lot of Cavs basketball this year, a lot more than I thought I would.
And shout out as well to the executives there for what they've done, because they've got a lot of stuff. I've got a lot of crap for, you know, bad picks and bad management stuff. But if you look at their roster now, like Larry Nance, Andre Drummond, Jarrett Allen, that's a three-headed big man beast. All of those guys had big games today. Larry Nance had 15 points, 10 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. It's 7 for 11 from the field. Andre Drummond had a massive night. He was at a 19, 16, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block, 8 for 13 from the field. He even hit 3 for 4 from the foul line. Go and get another lottery ticket. Make it 2 when you hit him hitting 75%. And Jarrett Allen had 19 points. He had 6 rebounds. And he was also 7 for 9 from the field, which is beautiful field goal percentage. All three of them look like they're going to have value.
Yeah, absolutely. Larry Nance, I think, is still leading the league in steals, which is incredible. He is a defensive menace on the court. He can do pretty much everything. He's a Swiss Army knife. I love myself some Larry Nance. Jared Allen, you know, you would like to see one of the centers get moved, and Andre Drummond seems like the most likely candidate to get traded. It all depends on what they can get back for him, and it probably won't happen until the deadline with him being an expiring deal. So you hope to see Drummond move, because I am nervous about Allen and Drummond together. They're both definitely still standard league values, but Allen has just such high upside if he was the starting center with a lesser center behind him. So I'm hoping for a move, but regardless, all three guys are standard league assets in all formats.
And of course, go and check your wire and make sure Darius Garland is not available. He only had 22 minutes tonight, but he had 11 points. And he had 3 assists, 2 for 2 from the foul line, and he did manage 13 shots. It was only 4 of 13 from the field, but once he ramps back up, I mean, if he hits, you know, 2 more of those, that's a 15-3 game in his first game back. It's nice to see his usage there. And I have him in a couple of roto leagues, and he was amazing. He was inside the top 30 earlier in the season. Those three guys I mentioned earlier, Larry Nance is 35th on the season. Andre Drummond is 60th. He would be much higher if you're punting free throws. And Jarrett Allen is inside the top 60 as well. We'll see how that plays out. But so far, it looks like all of them are going to have value. And we just hope that Larry Nance keeps getting 30 minutes, because he is an absolute fantasy basketball monster, and he's exciting to watch. Another thing that's exciting is Valentine's Day. You know what? 2 million men are already using Manscaped products to groom. Make sure you're one of them. Valentine's Day is coming up. You need to be ready for where the night might take you. And our friends at Manscaped, the global leaders in men's below-the-waist grooming, are here to tell you that you need to use the best tools for the job so you can be ready for absolutely anything on that special day. They have something called the Perfect Package 3.0, which is led by their revolutionary third-generation lawnmower 3.0 trimmer, which has advanced skin-safe technology and features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. It's waterproof, so there's no mess in your bathroom floor or your sink if you're disgusting and do it in the sink. But anyway, let's be real. We've also smelled bad stuff down there before. That's why we need the crop preserver too. They keep our products, these products keep our boys from sweating, and they make us smell nice and stop it sticking as well. The Perfect Package 3.0 comes with a pair of Manscaped boxes that will keep your junk feeling fresh too. So check it out. Go to Manscaped's website, manscaped.com. Use the code HOOPBALL20. That gives you 20% off and free shipping. Your balls will thank you, and so will anybody who enjoys them. All right, let's get to the next game on the evening, and it was the Boston...
Wait, before we go on, I just want to touch on one other thing from the Cavs game.
Yeah, go on.
He's one of my favorite younger guys for dynasty leagues, for very deep leagues. Dylan Windler finally had his first healthy game. He was out all last season. He broke something in his hand in the first game this year, and he's a three-point shooter. Just somebody to monitor. He was 2 for 2 tonight with 6 rebounds, assist, and a steal. He's not as on the standard league radar, not even close, but deeper leagues, Dylan Windler and dynasty leagues, keep him on your radar.
Will do, and we love a bit of dynasty radar chat. Shout out to all the people who play Dynasty. And if you've got any questions for Stephen about Dynasty, feel free. We put the post up after the show comes out on Twitter. You can find the show there. You can go and comment and ask questions for us there if you feel like it. Otherwise, you can always go onto the Hoopball website as well and get involved on the forums over there and ask questions, because you definitely have questions when you play Dynasty. For the Boston Celtics, Jaylen Brown, that game I mentioned first, hold on. Shout out to my Celtics fan friends, because they went down 122 points to 110. It was Joel Embiid again. They just can't handle him on the inside. For the Celtics, though, speaking of a guy who can't be handled, Jaylen Brown had 42 points, 9 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. Speaking of steals of the fantasy season, he was 16 for 28 from the field, 5 3-pointers as well. It's really only that 3-throw percentage that lets him down a bit. He's been absolutely massive, hasn't he, Stephen?
Oh, I definitely did not see this one coming. I don't have him anywhere, and I kick myself every day for it. I mean, the guy has been way better than Jason Tatum on the season. Obviously, Tatum's been out, but even when they were both playing together, Brown's been out playing him this year, and I would have never saw that coming. So if you got Brown, you better be smiling right now.
Yeah, and he is right on the cusp of the top 20. He's the 20th guy on a per-game basis, right around Jeremy Grant, Drew Holiday, Michael Porter Jr., Malcolm Brogdon, Anthony Davis. That's how good he's been in front of Chris Middleton and Haywood, in front of Christian Wood and Luka Doncic, in front of Jimmy Butler on a per-game basis, even Porzingis as well. These are big names that he's jumped in front of. He's an absolute stud at the moment. Speaking of studs, Kemba Walker looks sprightly. He had 19 points. He had 3 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals, 8 for 16 from the field. Dan Bespris was saying that he looks like it's a younger version of Kemba Walker has come on and just taken over his body, because he looked young out there. That is good to see if you stashed him. Also for the Celtics, they have a bit of a big man glut with Daniel Tice, Robbie Williams, and Tristan Thompson. Now, Tice had a big game the last game out, but in this game, he called off. He had just 7 points. He had 2 rebounds and 1 assist. I'm glad I didn't rush out and add him everywhere, because between him and Tristan Thompson, who had a nothing game, and Robert Williams III, had just 2 points and 4 rebounds. I don't like that share. I also don't like the share with Jeff Teague and Peyton Pritchard, although had an injury. Maybe Jeff Teague has some sneaky appeal again, although he did just have 3 points, 2 assists, and 2 steals. So with Kemba back, Jeff Teague is not, you won't rush out and grab him, do you?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in a deep league, maybe, but we're talking like 18-team formats. With Kemba and Marcus Smart playing the guard, and Tatum's going to be back soon. There's not enough there for him. So I wouldn't go out and pick up Jeff.
For the Philadelphia 76ers, JoJo had 38 points, 11 rebounds, 3 assists, 1 steal, 11 for 15 from the field. Is he real-life MVP material?
Absolutely. I think that Joel Embiid is, you know, I was on the pod maybe, what, 6 weeks ago, 4 or 5 weeks ago, right before the season, and I was talking about how Joel Embiid could have his Shaq season. In the last game I was watching, Sixers-Celtics, they put up a stat on the board, and it was something about it was the first time that a center has put up the line that he put up against the Celtics since Shaq did it, which I felt very good about. Joel, to me, if the season ended today, he would be my MVP. I just absolutely love what he's doing.
And with the 76ers right at the top of the pack in the East as well, you could not complain about that. Ben Simmons had 15 points. He had 11 assists, 2 steals. He had 1 block, and he was 7 for 10 from the field. That field goal percentage boost he gives you is great. Seth Curry was back, and he was doing what he normally does, which is hit 3-pointers. He hit 3 of those. He had 15 points and 3 3-pointers, 6 for 10 shooting as well. He is one of the greatest shooters of all time. In fact, I think he's first or second best ever in terms of career a field goal percentage from deep. Toby Harris had 23 points. He had 8 rebounds and 3 assists. He was 10 for 12 from the field. Toby, you love his old man game. Danny Green called off. And with Seth Curry back, Danny Green was not good early in the season. I don't think he's a must hold with Seth Curry back taking some of those 3-point shots, is he?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Now, without Curry, he became their best 3-point shooter. Curry guts back in. Danny Green, not enough shots for him. And I would say he could be a desperate streamer for 3-pointers right now, but not a hold in standard leagues.
Yeah. Shake Milton had only 6 points, 2 assists, 1 steal. It was worth watching to see what happened to him after Seth Curry came back. He's another one. Maybe we watch a little bit more before we drop him, but he's not a must hold anymore, is he either?
No, I wouldn't hold on to Shake. There's just not enough out there for these guys with a full roster, so...
The next game on the slate was the Toronto Raptors, who've been quite a bit better of late. They started out absolutely garbage, hot garbage, as we say, early in the season, but they did beat the Miami Heat, who are undermanned, of course, 101 points to 81. For the Miami Heat, Kendrick Nunn, probably he's the guy we talk about, 22 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 3 steals. He played 38 minutes. Now, of course, when all of their players are back, which is mostly Jimmy Butler and Tyler Hero, who didn't play in this game, can he still have rest of season value, or do we just stream him while they're out?
You stream him while they're out. When they come back, if you think that he has potential to continue it, you just hold him for a week. And then if he starts to drop off, then you drop him. But for now, you could call him a pickup. You could call him a stream. You just ride him for as long as it lasts. But I if I was to bet on it, I wouldn't bet that it lasts for the whole season.
What about these other guys for the Heat? Let me just ask you, all of their Kelly Olynyk had a terrible line today. I paid $27 on my fab for him in one of my leagues, thinking he was my last piece. I had a few too many streamers. I think I had 3 streamers, and I wanted to reduce that. And I thought Kelly is a rest of season guy. Somebody dropped him. He had just 2 points. He had 1 rebound, 1 assist, and 2 steal. That hurt. Duncan Robinson had 11 points, and he hit 3 3-pointers. Goran Dragic had 13 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Of those 3 guys, are they all must roster?
Duncan Robinson, yes. Goran Dragic, in 8 cat leagues, I would say yes. Not that strongly, but a light yes. And then on Olynyk, it just seems to be so inconsistent. So it's hard for me to say a surefire yes on Olynyk, but he does put up some really good lines.
The last line he had, I think it was the previous game, he had a 28-8 with defensive stats as well.
Yeah, so, I mean, I would keep Olynyk if I had him on my roster, and I think that he might be the type of guy who actually is benefited by having all of the pieces back. So I'm not as strong on Olynyk because it just seems to be one really good game followed by one really mediocre or subpar game. But you could hold on to Olynyk.
That has been his history as well, too. Like, we sort of, Dan has me buying the Kool-Aid, so to speak, if I can mix my metaphors on him. But we'll see how it goes. I'm definitely holding him, especially because I spent $27 to get him. So I'll look pretty dumb if I drop him. So, look, even if he has one or two bad games in every three or four, I think from the center position, providing what he can, especially in two center leagues, at the moment, you probably need to have four on Yahoo because with guys getting PPD'd and stuff. So that's why I paid up on him. For the Toronto Raptors, OG Anunoby, bit of a man crush on OG because he has been awesome this season. He's my favorite MacGyver right now, apart from maybe McCall Bridges. He had 21 points. He had 4 rebounds, 1 assist and 2 steals, 5 for 6 from three-point land and 8 for 12 from the field. By the way, for people who are wondering what I mean by MacGyver, I mean a guy who stuffs lots of different categories and is not necessarily a really well-known stud, but he can provide top 50, top 60 value over the entire season, hopefully. Do you see OG ending up in that range where he is now? Because right now he's inside the top 50.
Yeah, I actually do. I don't think that his stats are going to drop off. The guy is, like you said, he's a MacGyver. I have him in all of my redraft leagues but one because I was very high on him during draft season. And every single night, I mean, it's like you just don't even need to look at his stats. You just know he's going to give you production. He's not going to hurt you in pretty much anywhere. So just keep riding him for top 50 value. You in your non-pro leagues, you might have even been able to get him after pick 90. It's just incredible value with OG. So and one of the best names in the NBA.
Exactly. And I got him in Dan's $75 buy-in Roto League, which I call it my Franken Roto team now because I've lost Tommy Bryant and I've lost Fultz and I dropped a couple of guys early on. So I've got like 5 streamers in that team. But the fact that I've got Paul George and OG Anunoby amongst a couple of others has kept me afloat. So OG, keep on rocking. I think I got him at pick 80, and that's a $75 buy-in league. So that was all my birthdays coming at once. Pascal Siakam had 15 points and 14 rebounds, plus 5 assists and 1 steal. He hasn't been fantastic, but you love to see that. Shout out to Aaron Baines, who had 23 minutes. He had 4 points, 6 rebounds. Chris Boucher. I've got a voucher for Chris Boucher. This is 2 games in a row, under 22 minutes. This was 19. 5 points, 5 rebounds, 0 assists, 0 steals, 1 block. Also, Baines played 23 minutes and Toronto won by a big margin. Is there worry for Chris Boucher if you didn't sell high on him?
I mean, maybe in retrospect, you could have sold high on him. But as far as holding on to the guy, I think he's going to be just fine. The Raptors, Nick Nurse seems to mess with his rotation on like almost a game-to-game basis. But I saw Boucher against my Warriors, and he was having, it was a block party. So Boucher is going to have his moment in the sun. I wouldn't worry.
Is there a more frustrating player in fantasy basketball than Norman Powell? Because I had him in a bunch of leagues because I love Norman Powell. I love what he did last season. I love his big muscles when he does those pumps after he hits three-pointers and stuff. It's great to watch. He just looks like a nice man as well. I'd love him to be a godfather, one of my kids. But I tell you what, he's been absolutely disgusting. And I mean disgusting in a bad way, not in a baseball way where they say disgusting, you mean good, which is weird, by the way. He has been bad. I dropped him everywhere. Then I picked him up in a couple of places, and then I dropped him again, and then he has 23 points, including 10 for 18 from the field, although he was 3 for 10 from deep. He's been frustrating, hasn't he?
All right, yeah. You think Kelly Olynyk has been a little frustrating? He doesn't hold a candle to what Norman Powell has been this season. He'll probably come out in the next game and go 1 for 6 from the field and in 17 minutes off the bench. I mean, it's just so hard to predict with Powell. I guess maybe you could look at him if he's on the wire, but you can't. You got to see a little bit of consistency before you can trust it.
This is an absolute mammoth behemoth of a show as well. We're in about 50 minutes, so we still got five games to go. We'll go into turbo mode now as we power through these. Atlanta Hawks up against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it was 1-1-6. The Hawks running out to 98. Fantastic to see Trae Young, 43 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, 14 for 22 from the field, 7 for 7 from the free throw line, where he is excellent, and 8 for 12 from deep. People have been talking about him bouncing back with some of his three-pointers because he's been under 30% on the season, and that has happened. Where else? What else do you say? John Collins had a very quiet game. Kevin Huerter had a quiet game, but both of those guys have been good of late. DeAndre Hunter had 11 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. He had 4 steals, which you love. Hunter has been a good surprise this season. But Clint Capella is the guy we should... Oh, sorry. Danilo Gallinari as well. Good to see him back. Just 10 points. He did have 8 shots in only 14 minutes. He will probably ramp up and steal a few minutes from some of these young guns. But it was Clint Capella, 13 points, 19 rebounds and 10 assists. I have him in just one league. I was scared off of his injuries. Do you have him?
Yeah, I got him in one spot as well. But yeah, the 10 blocks, the triple-double with the blocks tonight, you just love to see it. You just love it. There's no complaining about the 3-for-6 from the free throw line. The guy got you 10 blocks. There you go. You win your league and you win your week in blocks right there.
Do we sell high? It's interesting. He's right next to Larry Nance on the season now. Nance is 35. Capella is 36. They're both probably sell highs though, aren't they?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that Nance is a bigger sell high just because of all the bodies in Cleveland. I don't know if I would sell either of the guys. Capella, I really do think he could produce top 40, maybe even top 35 value on the season. I'd say it'll probably be closer to 50, but Capella to me is the safer of the two guys you just mentioned.
The Minnesota Timberwolves are probably the worst team in the NBA. They it's been bad. Even from a fantasy perspective, it was bad today. D'Angelo Russell only played 20 minutes. He had 9 points. He had 2 rebounds. He had 4 assists. He has been good this season, though. Malik Beasley has also been good for where he was drafted outside the top 100. He had 17 points. He had 4 assists, and he was 7 for 11 from the field. Naz Reid, I've streamed him in a couple of places. I'm happy with that because he had 13 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, 4 blocks. Make sure Naz Reid is not available while Cat is out, and I reckon it might be still another week because he caught COVID. Naz Reid is definitely one of the pickups that you should be looking at the moment. Jared Vanderbilt in deeper leagues, maybe even with 12 teams. I picked him up and dropped him, but he had 10 points, 4 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 steals, 1 block. He's another one worth streaming while Karl Anthony Towns is out, depending on what the best availability that you have. Ricky Rubio is probably a drop, isn't he? He had 4 points, 4 rebounds, 5 assists, and 3 steals. What's interesting for you at Minnesota at the moment, Stephen?
So the most interesting thing for me, being a Warrior fan, is that we were able to trade D'Angelo Russell for Andrew Wiggins and a future first-round pick in 2021 that is only top 3 protected. So the Minnesota Timberwolves are my second favorite team in the league right now because of their poor record, and I love to see it.
Yeah, so you just hope that they don't win the lottery. You want them to. So you're hoping for them to be bad, but not too bad.
But even if they get their pick, it's unprotected in 2022.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which I don't see them being that much better next year. Obviously, you hope that they get 4th or 5th. But, you know, with the flat lottery odds, it's very possible that they could end up with the worst record and still fall outside of the top 3.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
And they talk as well from your perspective, with Clay coming back next season, that pick could be a good trade asset if it's for 2022, because both 2021 and 2022 are supposed to be super drafts too. So as a Warriors fan, you should be very happy. And Wiggins has been surprisingly not too bad.
Yeah, he plays defense, something that D'Angelo Russell has chosen not to do for, it seems like, his entire career.
Yes, well...
I actually think Wiggins is a better player than D'Angelo Russell, not from a fantasy perspective, but from a reality perspective.
Yes, well, we probably have to see Minnesota in defensive. You're right, I'm sure, but I'm going to be a bit defensive because my son's name is D'Angelo. But we need to see Minnesota actually playing some games without having injury or COVID or crazy stuff going on. The beginning of last season, they were actually quite good, and then they got hit by Towns' injury before we could actually see them all play together.
That's true. That's true. But I think part of the reason why Towns was out for so long last season was because he did not like Jeff Teague. Because the moment Jeff Teague got traded, all of a sudden he came back from injury.
Yeah, there you go.
Very, very suspicious.
There's another line for you. Now, the Dallas Mavericks are an amazing team to watch every time. It's fun. They won 1-1. They won 1-2-2 to 1-1-7 on the road against the San Antonio Spurs. For the Mavericks, it was Luka Doncic, 36 points. He had 9 rebounds, 11 assists. As they say, he flirted with a triple-double. They make it sound like he was buying cocktails for a triple-double, but he didn't quite seal the deal. But you'll take 36, 9, and 11, that kind of foreplay, any night of the week. For they also, a guy who plays for the Dallas Mavericks is Kristaps Porzingis. I love this guy because I stashed him in 4 leagues. 21 points, 8 rebounds, 1 assist, 1 steal, 2 big blocks, 3 three-pointers, 4 for 4. Are you laughing like a fat spider like me? Do you have him anywhere?
Oh, I did not take him anywhere. I was too nervous about the knee injury, so props to you. I couldn't believe that he came back faster than any of the other guys. That's a great guy to have on your team right now.
Yeah, he's 32nd on a per-game basis. I just absolutely love that. I've got him in a Roto League, and I've got him in a head-to-head league and a Yahoo League as well. Just love it. Also, people who play for the Dallas Mavericks, couple more names for you. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 21 points. He had 2 rebounds. He had 2 for 6. He's a gunner and definitely worth holding on to because he gets those big minutes and shot opportunities. Trey Burke had 13 points and not much else. He had 5 from 10 from the field, including 2 three-pointers. For the Spurs, LaMarcus Aldridge, bit of man crush for this game. He's been bad. I have him in that $75 buy-in Roto League, but he had 26 points. He had 9 rebounds. He had 2 assists, 4 for 7 from the field. He's not probably going to keep this up, is he?
No, you can't expect this on a nightly basis, but it's not that far out of the realm. I mean, he's definitely going to be better than he's been so far this year, as long as he stays with the Spurs. So LaMarcus Aldridge, I don't have a single problem holding on to. I expect more lines like this than the lines that we saw early on.
DeMar DeRozan had 29 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and 1 steal. Shout out to Dan Prespas' old man squad if you listen to Fantasy NBA Today. If you don't, you need to be listening to that podcast because it's great stuff. DeMar is one of the old man, sort of not exciting guys that he recommends picking up, and he's just chugged along this season and been good. Keldon Johnson had a massive bounce back after a really bad game. Had 17 points, 14 rebounds, 3 assists. He's one of the most exciting young players in the NBA. It's fantastic. DeJounte Murray, did he get injured? He did, didn't he? He only played 1 minute.
He must have gotten injured at the beginning of that game.
Yeah, so that is something to look out for. Whilst Stephen looks that one up, Let's talk about Rudy Gay.
He sprained his left ankle here. So yeah. I just saw that's too bad. Hopefully it's not a serious injury, but definitely something to monitor.
He has been amazing, and that explains Patty Mills playing 36 minutes because he had 13 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 steal. Shout out to Aussie Patty and all the Indigenous Australians because he's an absolute legend, and he's on a few of my teams. He's been great value so far. We just got 3 games to go. Let's speed through them. Denver Nuggets up against the Phoenix Suns. This was a barn burner. I saw a little bit of this game in the barbershop, actually, on my phone. The Denver Nuggets ran out winners 130 to 126, and it was Jokic and Murray, the show, the two-man show. Jokic had 31 points. He had 10 rebounds, 8 assists, 3 steals. He's the only player in fantasy basketball better on a per-game basis than Kyrie Irving at the moment, but that is amazing to see. He just keeps on chugging along. Gary Harris played massive minutes, 38 minutes. He had 19 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists. If he is on your waiver wire, go and grab him. It's worth just when he gets on this kind of run. Let's remember he was a top 50 guy in fantasy a couple of seasons ago for 2 seasons. He's worth holding. Murray had 18 points, 9 assists, 3 steals, and 1 block. What's interesting, Will Barton had 17 points, 4 rebounds, 2 assists. Monty Morris. Now, here's one to ask you about. He had 17 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 steal. I have streamed him in a couple of spots. Do you think he has sneaky rest of season hold value? He's inside the top 90.
I absolutely do. I don't think he's a sure thing, but you know, you can't really find that many sure things out there on the wire. One really interesting thing, he actually was in the team's closing lineup instead of Paul Millsap. And, you know, with Jamal Murray's struggles this season, he had a good line tonight, but he has struggled a bit. Monty Morris just provides an extra playmaker out there on the court. He doesn't make very many mistakes. He's not going to hurt you anywhere. He definitely gives you a bigger boost in 9-cat because of the low turnover numbers from the point guard position. I really like Morris. I agree. Sneaky rest of season value for sure.
And also the field goal percentage. A lot of these streaming point guard guys that you grab, they do lots of turnovers, as you said, and they also have bad field goal percentage. But his shot selection is just superb. 6 of 10 tonight, and he's above 50% on the season. Go check out your wire for Monty Morris if you're struggling a bit in the point guard area, because you'll get you those assists, some points and some threes on good percentages, and as Stephen said, low turnovers. Mikal Bridges, speaking of MacGyvers, he's my favorite MacGyver. Sorry, OG. I don't know. It's a toss-up. I love you both. 24 points, 10 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, 6 for 8 from deep. Tell me you've got some Mikal Bridges too.
The only league that I didn't get OG Anunoby is the league I ended up with Mikal Bridges.
these are league-winning choices. I mean, Dan says you can't win the league in the first few rounds. You can only lose it. You win it in the mid-rounds and the mid-late rounds, usually with guys like Mikal Bridges, because he's just been great. DeAndre Ayton, he's had really bounced back the last week. 27 points, 13 rebounds, 1 assist and 1 steal. 11 for 13 from the field. And 5 for 5 from the line. I'm so happy I didn't trade him away for Chris Boucher. That would have been dumb.
Absolutely, yeah. Now, I do expect better lines from Boucher, but Ayton has looked so good. Chris Paul doesn't seem like he's out there to do anything else but get DeAndre Ayton the ball by the rim. So, I mean, he's set up for a great season. DeAndre Jordan-esque season back when he was on the Clippers with Paul.
Yeah, and he's got a little bit of range. He only missed 0 from 1 today, but he does have a jump shot too. 5 for 5 from the line. You love the free throw percentage for a big man. Chris Paul, he was amazing with his assists. He had 12 by halftime. He had 11 points. He had 15 assists. He had 1 steal. He was just 5 for 15 from the field though, which was a bit disappointing. Devin Booker had a big game. He had 31 points. He had 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block. He had 3 for 9 from deep. It was really their three-point shooting which let them down a little bit, the big guys, and was an amazing game by the looks of it. Certainly in the barbershop, I was a bit lit up at the end. Do we think that the Phoenix Suns, apart from the Nuggets and the two LA teams, have they got the best chance of coming out of the West?
It's hard for me to say yes to that. I don't think so, actually. I'm not sure who else I could mention above them. I say that they are in a similar tier with a lot of teams. One really interesting note from tonight's game is that Devin Booker wasn't in the game in the final minute or two. They had Cameron Payne in the game, and it didn't seem like it was injury-related. So very strange. I'm not sure what's going on, why Devin Booker wasn't in the closing minutes. Maybe it was injury, and we'll learn about that this evening or tomorrow. But yeah, you know, I'm not sold on the Suns as a playoff team, as a regular season team. I am sold on them. They will be in the playoffs. It's hard for me to trust a Chris Paul-led team to make it out of the West.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't got great history, but he does have great history of getting teams to the Western Conference Finals, though. So I think there's a good chance they go on a run. It just depends really where they run, which whereabouts they run into one of the LA teams, because you can't really see anybody beating those two. They've got to end up in the Conference Finals when you watch them just blowing teams away. I don't think as well the Clippers are going to let what happened last season again this season. Speaking of the Clippers, they played against the Oklahoma City Thunder and they flogged them by 14 points. It wasn't as close as that even as well. For the Oklahoma City Thunder, Lugans Dort had 19 points, 3 rebounds and 1 assist. Let me ask you about Lugans. In a word or two, Is he a rest of season hold guy or just a streamer guy?
Hold for now.
That's probably
which I guess maybe means stream, but long that's how I look at it.
Long stream. He had no steals and no blocks tonight. Like every now and then he gets a lot of them, and then he goes a few games with none. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander had 30 points, 3 rebounds, 8 assists and 2 steals. He was 11 for 20 from the field. He's really starting to provide that that third round value where he was drafted early in the third round by a lot of people. Last 3 weeks, especially last 2 weeks, in fact, he's been very good. George Hill had 12 points, 5 rebounds, 1 assist. He's another one a little bit like Monty Morris, who provides good field goal percentage and some sneaky assists and rebounds from the waiver wire. If you need someone, you won't go wrong with him if you want him to provide some of that for you. For the Clippers, it was, of course, Paul George again having a massive game. I've got him in that Roto League. 29 points, 7 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 3 three-pointers, 6 for 6, perfect from the foul line. Great stuff. Kawhi Leonard just keeps on keeping on, and he's playing a lot of games too. 31 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 3 steals, 2 blocks, 10 for 21 from the field. Do you have any Kawhi?
I don't. I really wish I did. I don't.
Yeah, and he's been amazing too. So the next game, the last – oh, sorry. We need to talk about the – no, we can talk about the last game. Jeez, 70 minutes in and I've almost lost my mind. It was the New York Knickerbockers up against the Sacramento Kings, and the Knickerbockers got beaten. 103 points to 94. The Knicks have been on a good run, but they're, of course, on a back-to-back after playing the Warriors last night. For the Knicks, Julius Randle had 26 points, 15 rebounds, 4 assists, 8 for 17 from the field. He didn't hit any of his three-pointers, but he was 10 for 11 from the foul line. I have him in a Roto League. I'm 15 points in front of second in that league. In big part thanks to him. I can't bring myself to sell him.
Yeah, I mean, it just seems like it keeps going. Why not ride it out? Perhaps Tom Thibodeau is the answer that New York Knicks fans everywhere have been hoping for a long time. The guys seem to love playing for Tibbs, including Randle.
Yeah, and he's inside the top 50. One of the reasons he's not further up is he doesn't really provide any blocks or steals, so there's no defensive stats there. But if you get those from other places, if you're punting those, he's in the top 20. And in points leagues, he's number 3.
Wow.
So I have a points league where I drafted, where I got him and a couple of other steals, and I'm absolutely crushing. I'm like, I'm 800 points more than second after this week. I'm not on top because I lost in 1 week. I should be honest and say, but my overall points are just so far in front of everyone else. And part of it is because I've got Julius Randle and I've also got Vooch, who are both having incredible seasons. Mitchell Robinson is also incredible. The minutes are great to see. He was 28 minutes tonight and he had 12 points, 10 rebounds and 1 block. Reggie Bullock was a guy that people talked about streaming. He had just 21 minutes and he had no points. Probably don't drop him just if you're streaming him for threes, but he's not a must hold. Quickly only had 16 minutes. He is probably a drop. Alfred Payton is a drop if you didn't drop him already. RJ Barrett had a good game, 21 points, 7 rebounds and 3 assists, and he's been sneaky good so far this season. For the Kings, lucky last, De'Aaron Fox had 22 points, 7 assists and 1 steal. Corey Joseph, 8 points, 2 rebounds and 2 assists in his 14 minutes. Rashawn Holmes, 10 points, 14 rebounds and 6 big blocks. Let's stop with something exciting like Rashawn Holmes. He's another one. Do you have any of him? And do you see him finishing as high as he is? He's inside the top 50, I think, right now, isn't he? Yeah, I think he's inside the top 40 even. Yeah, he's 30th. My God, Rashawn, sorry. Is he a sell high?
You know, it's kind of disappointing to see him only have 6 blocks tonight. I mean, Clint was able to get out there and get 10. I mean, what's going on with that?
Yeah, good stuff. Now, is Tyrese last one. Is Tyrese Halliburton the best rookie in the NBA or is it LaMelo Ball?
Halliburton is the most ready rookie in the NBA. Ball is the best rookie for the future in the NBA.
Well, there you go. Look out of that. So Tyrese Halliburton is, if you're lucky, if you've got him, he's somebody you could even consider trading for after a couple of quiet games. Stephen, I've kept you up late on a Friday night. I hope you didn't have better things to do. Thank you so much for that. That was an absolute marathon. And we'll look forward to seeing you and talking to you again in 2 weeks' time.
Absolutely. Great to be here. Enjoy the NBA season. And yeah, see you guys in 2 weeks.
This has been a HoopBall presentation.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HourEnergy.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HourEnergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.